God bless everyone. Minister Dave here talking to you about spirit, body, and soul. So the concept of man being composed of spirit, soul, and body is deeply rooted in the understanding that humans consist of three distinct parts. So the spirit is often described as the non-physical part of a person, serving as the channel for connection and communication with God. That's the Wi-Fi to heaven. In Hebrew, the spirit is referred to as ruah, symbolizing breath, wind, or spirit. The soul, on the other hand, is considered the non-physical part that shapes a person's personality and character. It's the part about you that you can't see. So not the body, but everything else makes you, you. That's what you are. It's your soul. So the soul is seen as the essence of humanity relating to emotions, consciousness, and the core of our being. Our soul represents the place of our identity and individuality, reflecting on the depth and complexity of human experience beyond simple physical existence. Now, the soul is known as nefesh. It's understood to be immortal and responsible for individuality. Now, the body represents the physical form of a person. The body is understood as the tangible structure of a person. So, again, the body is understood as the tangible structure of an individual. So, the body serves as the vessel for sensory experiences, encompassing touch, taste, hearing, sight, and smell. Okay, so it anchors us in the physical world, providing a means for interaction and engagement with our environment. Now, let's talk about the three-part idea of people. The three-part idea on human nature, which includes spirit, soul, and body, is supported by biblical verses like Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which speaks of God breathing into man the breath of life. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where Paul prays for the Thessalonians to be sanctified, holy. That's related to the spirit, soul, and body. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which describes the Word of God as living and active. So this is about discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So that's what that means. We see more of the spiritual connection here. It's where God places things through the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about between the body and soul lies the spirit. That's what we're going to talk about now. So it serves as the bridge between the earthly and the heaven, facilitating a profound relationship with God or ultimately reality. This three-part division offers a framework for understanding human nature, emphasizing the play between the physical, emotional, and spiritual parts of existence. The combination of spirit, body, and soul puts us into a clear understanding of human existence and spirituality. This encourages us to reflect on the nature of reality, the purpose of our lives, and our relationship with God as we speak with God. So this is through our prayer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about that. Now, let's use the tabernacle to describe, at this moment, body, spirit, and soul. Now, the tabernacle helps us draw a picture of the three parts of people that we are talking about. Before I do that, let me tell you what I mean when I say tabernacle. So we'll do a little bit of a basic review. So let's get down to simple basics so we understand together what the tabernacle is all about. So here we go. The tabernacle, also known as the tent of the congregation, was a special tent that the Israelites used as a place to worship God. This happened a long time ago after the Israelites left Egypt in the event called Exodus. That's in the book of Exodus. And before they settled in a land called Canaan. Now, the tabernacle was not just any tent. It was a very important one because it was where the Israelites understood that God lived among them while they were traveling. It was something symbolic and representative that they could relate to. Think of the tabernacle as a portable church that they could take with them wherever they went. It was made of beautiful materials and had different parts, including a place called the Holy of Holies, where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. You'll see that in Exodus chapter 25, verse 10 through 22. Exodus chapter 25, verse 10 through 22. The Ark was a special box that held the Ten Commandments, which were rules given by God. And we see that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 through 17. So again, that's Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 through 17. And Deuteronomy, which is chapter 5, verse 6 through 12, through 21, I should say. Chapter 5, verse 6 through 21. Now, the tabernacle was set up in the center of their camp, showing that God was at the heart of their community. Only certain people, like priests, could go inside some parts of it because it was considered very holy. And this is talked about in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, the Israelites carried the tabernacle with them through the desert for 40 years until they reached Canaan, a land that God promised to give them. And that's in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 through 38. Again, that's Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 through 38. Once they settled in Canaan, the tabernacle was used until King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, which then became the main place of worship. And we see that in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. The tabernacle shows us how the Israelites tried to stay close to God while they were on their journey. It was a reminder that God was with them, guiding and protecting them through good times and tough times. The tabernacle, with its structure and various parts, has often been used as a metaphor to describe the body, soul, and spirit of a person. Drawing parallels between the three main parts of the tabernacle and the three-part nature of humans. Now, this idea comes from the knowledge that humans are made up of three parts: the body, which is the physical part, the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit, the part that connects with God. Okay, now here's how the tabernacle is used to illustrate this concept. Number one, the outer court represents the body. The outer court was the part of the tabernacle where the sacrifices were made and is the most external and visible part, just as the body is the physical, visible part of us that interacts with the world. In the same way that the outer court was accessible to all the Israelites, our bodies are the part of us that is seen and interacts with the physical world. Now, number two, the holy place. Now, the holy place symbolizes the soul. The holy place inside the tabernacle contained the lampstand, the table of showbread, which was an offering, and the altar of incense, representing aspects of light, sustenance, and prayer. This area can be seen as representing the soul, which encompasses our mind, that's the thoughts and reasoning, and our will, which is the decisions and emotions. Okay, that's what that represents. So just as only the priest could enter the holy place, our soul is a more private part of us, not visible to everyone. And now, number three, the most holy place, or we could call it the Holy of Holies. That signifies the spirit. The most holy place was the innermost part of the tabernacle and the most sacred space where the Ark of the Covenant, right? The Ark of the Covenant was kept in where God's presence dwelled. This area is parallel to the human spirit, the part of us that is meant for communion with God. Just as only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement, you'll see that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 through 32. Again, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 through 32. The spirit is the deepest, most sacred part of us where we connect with God on a personal level. By using the tabernacle as a metaphor, it highlights the concept of humans being complex and multidimensional beings. Each part has its role and significance, but all work together to make a whole person. In spiritual terms, this analogy is often used to teach about the importance of nurturing and taking care of each part of our being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, to live a balanced and fulfilling life. So we talked about the tabernacle. Let's go back once again to the spirit, body, and soul. Now, in the Bible, we learned already about how people are made up of three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. So let's review for clarity. These parts work together to make us who we are, and each part has a special role. So again, the body is the part of us that can be seen. It's how we interact within the world around us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, that our bodies are like temples for the Holy Spirit. This means we should take a good care of our bodies because they are important and special. The soul is a part of us that includes our thoughts, feelings, and choices. It's like our inner voice that talks to us when we are happy or sad, like in Psalms 42, verse 11, where the scripture talks about feeling down, but reminds himself to hope in God. Okay? And our soul helps us think, make decisions, and feel emotions. The spirit is the deepest part of us that connects with God. In Romans 8:16, it tells us that our spirit can feel God's presence and know that we are God's children. It's through our spirit that we can have a personal relationship with God, feeling close to Him. Now, the Bible talks about all three parts working together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says that God wants our whole being, body, soul, and spirit, to be good and pure. This shows that we should take care of every part of ourselves, not just one. By doing this, we can live a balanced life and be ready when Jesus comes back. Again, I said a balanced life. So the body, soul, and spirit are all important parts of who we are. To live a balanced and fulfilling life, it's essential to understand and nurture the interconnected aspects of our body, soul, and spirit. This holistic approach, guided by scriptural teachings, not only enhances our well-being, but also strengthens our relationship with God and those around us. Taking care of our physical selves is a form of honoring God. Again, taking care of our physical health is a form of honoring God. And that's important to know. So as highlighted in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, regular exercise, a nutritious diet, and a sufficient rest are foundational to maintaining our health. Such practices enable us to serve God and others more effectively. Additionally, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it advises us to treat our bodies as living sacrifices to God, steering clear of behaviors and substances that could harm us or distract from our purpose. Our soul, encompassing our mind, emotions, and will, requires nurturing for all our overall well-being. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it encourages us to renew our minds, allowing us to align our thoughts and decisions with God's will. Engaging in activities like reading the Bible, praying, and surrounding ourselves with positive influences can foster this renewal. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 teaches us to manage our emotions by bringing our anxieties to God through prayer, ensuring emotional stability and peace. Strengthening our spirit involves engaging in spiritual disciplines that foster a close connection to God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, reminds us to live in accordance with the Spirit, which can be achieved through prayer, worship, studying scripture, and fellowship with other believers. Additionally, loving and serving others as commanded in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39, not only fulfills God's greatest commandments, but also nurtures our spiritual growth. Integrating the care of our body, soul, and spirit is crucial for living a balanced life. Physical activities can become opportunities for spiritual reflection and prayer, while community service can enhance both our emotional well-being and our spiritual depth. By considering our lives through the lens of body, soul, and spirit, we're encouraged to make choices that reflect our devotion to God in every aspect of our being. This comprehensive approach to living urges us to maintain our physical health, manage our thoughts and emotions in a manner that honors God, and deepen our spiritual connections. In essence, embracing a mature approach to caring for our body, soul, and spirit means we're committed to living healthy, thinking and feeling deeply, and fostering a meaningful relationship with God. This path not only aligns with God's commandments, but also enriches our lives with integrity and joy. In Christianity, taking care of the body, soul, and spirit is like looking after different parts of a garden, making sure each area is healthy and grows well. Yes, it's very much like a garden. For the body, we believe it's important to keep it healthy by eating right, exercising, and getting enough sleep, kind of like how a garden needs good soil, sunlight, and water. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, says our bodies are like temples for the Holy Spirit, so treating our bodies well is a way of honoring God. For the soul, which includes our thoughts, feelings, and decisions, taking care of it means finding ways to stay positive and close to God. Reading the Bible, praying, and being around people who lift you up are good ways to do this. It's like pulling weeds in a garden or planting flowers that will make it more beautiful. When we're feeling worried or down, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, tells us to pray and be thankful, which can help our souls feel at peace, just like a well-kept garden feels peaceful. Taking care of the spirit is about deepening our connection with God, making sure that part of us is alive and growing. This can be done through worship, learning about God, and helping others, which Jesus talks about as loving your neighbor as yourself, as we see in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. It's like caring for the deepest roots of the garden, ensuring they're strong and healthy so the whole garden can thrive. All these parts, body, soul, and spirit, work together. When they take care of each part, they're able to live fully and joyfully, just like a well-tended garden that's vibrant and full of life. It's about making choices that keep us healthy, happy, and close to God so we can be the best version of ourselves. Now, let's give some examples through fasting. Let's talk about fasting. Fasting is a practice in Christianity where people choose not to eat for a certain period to focus more on their relationship with God. It's like hitting the pause button on eating to help the body, soul, and spirit get in tune with God. When it comes to the body, fasting is pretty straightforward. It means not eating. That's what it means. It means not eating and sometimes not drinking to teach the body to not always get what it wants right away. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, saying that when we fast, it shouldn't be a big show, but something personal between us and God. It's a way to remind our bodies that there are more important things than just food. For the soul, which includes our thoughts, feelings, and decisions, fasting plays a big role too. In Psalm chapter 35, verse 13, David talks about making his soul humble through fasting. This means that fasting can help us control what we think and feel making us more focused and calm inside, kind of like quieting down noisy thoughts and worries. The Spirit is all about getting closer to God. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2 through 3, when the church was fasting, they were able to hear God's guidance more clearly. It's like fasting turns up the volume on God's voice to our spirit, helping us understand better what He wants us to do. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 through 7, explains the kind of fasting God likes best, which involves helping others, not just giving up food. This kind of fasting makes our spirit stronger and more in line with what God cares about. So fasting isn't just about not eating. It's about bringing our whole selves, body, soul, and spirit, closer to God. It teaches our bodies to be disciplined, helps our souls to quiet down and focus, and makes our spirit more in tune with God. So let's think about it. It's like a workout for our whole being, making us healthier and happier in our relationship with God. So let's talk about tithing and see how this connects with everything we've been talking about. Tithing is like giving 10% of what you earn or have to the church or to God. It's in the Bible. This idea comes from several places in the Bible. There are also rules in the Bible about giving a tenth of your crops and animals to help support religious leaders and help people in need. Even though the Bible talks a lot about giving money or things, the idea of tithing can also be about more than just that. It can be a way to show love and respect to God with our whole life, including our body, mind, and spirit. When we talk about the body and tithing, it means giving in a way that you can see and touch, just like donating money or food. It's a way to thank God for taking care of our physical needs and to help take care of others too. Tithing also touches our soul, which means our thoughts, feelings, and choices. When we decide to give, it makes us think about what's really important. It helps us to be more trusting, generous, and thankful. Lastly, tithing is a way to connect with God on a spiritual level. It shows that we believe everything we have comes from Him, that means from God, and that we want to support His work in the world. This kind of giving can help us grow closer to God and learn to listen to the Holy Spirit about how to use what we have to help others. So even though the Bible doesn't specifically say tithing is about body, soul, and spirit, the idea is that giving in this way affects every part of our lives. It's about how much more than just money. It's about how we use everything we have to honor God. That's what we're talking about today. Thank you for listening to my little talk about spirit, body, and soul. I bless you all. Thank you for joining me.